Can I have my number, my first slide up, please? So 2022, the year for the family, I've spoken about revival, I've spoken about reconciliation. This morning I want to speak on rejuvenation. 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 Rejuvenation is to make someone look or feel young and energetic again. Restoration of youthful vigor. Society today, are making these claims that these potions, these creams, these under-eye, these over-eye, these ins and these outs, this cream, that needle, this needle, will rejuvenate you. May I say this? The cosmetic industry in 2019 turned over $582 billion. $582 billion, people are looking to be rejuvenated on the outside. Rejuvenated. Just in creams alone, in 2020, they spent $61 billion. By the time it's 2026, it will be $86 billion on cream to rejuvenate. And God wants to rejuvenate, but He doesn't want to rejuvenate so much the outside. That's your job. He wants to rejuvenate you on the inside. Anyone want some rejuvenation on the inside? There is no cream. You can't go to Myers and buy the under-eye things and leave it on for 30 seconds and your eyes just pop out. Anyway, we won't go there, love. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Momentary fleeting. Anyway, praise the Lord. I'm not going to go there. God's not so worried about the rejuvenating the outside, He's rejuvenating the inside. A restoration of strength, a restoration of passion, a restoration of vigor of the things of the Spirit. He wants to rejuvenate my soul. Anyone want a bit of rejuvenation this morning? Hallelujah. Getting back to that first love, that first place of desire, that first place of passion for the things of the Spirit of God. But it's going to take more than just an application of cream. It's going to take a change of mindset. It's going to take a change of vocabulary. Amen. But if you present yourself to Him, He'll do the work. Glory to God. Turn with me to Psalm 103, verse 1 to 11. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 11. And it says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." If you want to have rejuvenation in your heart, rejuvenation in your soul, you better bless the Lord with your soul, whether your soul feels like it or not. Whether you're happy, clappy, down and sad, you better bless Him, because He's a God who changes not and deserves to be blessed. Amen. He doesn't receive the blessing because the way you and I feel. He receives it because He's worthy of it. What? He's worthy of it all. He's worthy of it all. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Not just some blessing, not just a portion that you want to give Him. He's worthy of it all. He's worthy of everything you are and everything you should be. He's worthy of it. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His what? Which is His goodness. Don't forget His goodness. Stop concentrating on the things that are bad, the things that aren't happening. Start concentrating on the good things. The good thing that you got up this morning, you can still breathe. The good thing that your legs are still working. The good thing you can lift up your head from the pillow. The good things. Amen? So often we have a complaining, moaning, groaning spirit. But God wants you to bless Him. Think about Him and not about yourself. And get rejuvenated in your soul and not forget His benefits. His benefits are this: who forgives you of all your iniquities. These are the benefits. He forgives you of all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. These are the benefits of God that I should think on. I've read that. Who redeems your life from destruction. who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. In other words, whatever you need to fill your mouth with, he will give it to you. What distaste or brings distaste to God is my moan and my groan. There was a nation that went through a wilderness called Israel, and they were stopped in the wilderness because of their what? Groaning and moaning. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your mouth is renewed like the eagles. Just write that word down, eagle. So that your mouth is renewed like the eagles. That your mouth is renewed like the eagles. Next one, please. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. In other words, he's your vindicator. You do not have to defend yourself. He will defend you. And I'm going to take it once, may I take it one step further. He will not defend a personality. He won't defend you just because you're a pastor. He won't defend you if you're just called an apostle. He'll defend the truth. He'll defend the truth. Amen. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. He makes known his what? And the children of Israel know his acts. What am I seeking? Am I seeking his ways? I don't want to constantly see his acts. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who what? Fear him. To learn to fear the Lord, think on the goodness of God. To learn to fear the Lord, think on the goodness of God. There was a man who never let his passion wane, who was strong in his mature years, as in his youthful years. A man that the word of the Lord calls a man with a different spirit. A man with a different spirit. A man who was after the word of the Lord, was absolute and refused the wanderings of the wilderness or the negativity of the bad reports to get around his spirit for 40 years. For 40 years while they wandered, he never lost the strength in the word of the Lord. He was a man of a different spirit. No, I probably said this as much as you probably said this. It doesn't say Joshua was a man of a different spirit. It says Caleb was the man of a different spirit. Joshua and Caleb walked together, and he was. But the Bible mentions Caleb as the man of the different spirit. Caleb was a man of a different spirit that refused to allow 10 other reports to wane him and distract him from the purpose of God. Refused to stop him thinking on the goodness of God. Refused to stop having vision for 40 years. 40, can you imagine walking around for 40 years with moaning and groaning? 40 years every day, someone in your ear, and he never lost strength in the word of the Lord. That is what God requires of us if we want to have a rejuvenated spirit. Keep your strength in the word of the Lord. Do not be swayed by people's opinions, but be swayed only by what the word says. Because you will get in your life and in my life, and it's not from the world, it'll be from people in church, moaners, groaners, negative, despondent, speaking always the negative of life, where God is saying, hey, hey, remember my goodness, remember my mercy. Bless me. Stop blessing other things in your life. Bless me. And get traction in your life and get rejuvenation around your soul so you can start getting the benefits of the Lord in your life. Who wants benefits of God? The benefits of God in my life. So here's Caleb. Caleb means capable. His name means capable. He was Joshua's running mate. Turn with me to Joshua 13 and 1. We're going to see the difference. Joshua 13 and 1 says, now Joshua was old. There was 7 years difference between Joshua and Caleb. 7 years. That's all there was, 7 years. He was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, "You're old." Why would the Lord say that to Joshua? "You're old." Was Caleb old? Well, he's only 7 years younger. "You're old, Joshua." Caleb's old. But had Caleb lost his strength? You can talk to me. Had Caleb lost his strength? No, Caleb hadn't lost his strength. But you see, what had happened to Joshua was this. When you're going through things and stress gets about your life, and you're in a constant battle after battle after battle after battle after battle, which he was, amen, till he possessed the land, battle after battle, you can get despondent and you can start thinking and acting old. Just because you're maturely or numerically higher numbered than other people, you don't have to act old. You don't. You don't have to act old. Joshua, the Lord told him, he's old. Caleb wasn't acting old. Caleb was still strong. "You're old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed." Notice it says possessed, not conquered. It's already been done. And here's another footnote and hint for Christians. A lot of times God's waiting you to possess something that he's already won the battle for. And you're still trying to win the battle when it's already been done for you. There's a difference between conquering and possessing. We need to be possessors of what God has said. In other words, how can I possess things? Renewing my mind. Joshua 13:2 says this, "The land that yet remains, all the territory of the Philistines." The word Philistines literally means wallow in the dust. Flesh. Flesh will try and contaminate you in my thinking. You carry around with you, and I carry around with me, two unbelievers every day of my life. You and I carry around two unbelievers every day of my life. On the cross, Jesus represents spirit. The one that repented, the thief, he represents your soul, for he will be saved. But your body, the one that refused to repent, the one that cursed Jesus, he has to die. You and I carry around two unbelievers every day of our lives, speaking to me. If your soul is not renewed by the word of God, it will speak to you negatively, because as a man thinks, and your flesh will continue to speak negative to you because your flesh lusts. My flesh lusts. It desires what it wants to desire. That's why it cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? This land that remains the territory of the Philistines, the wallow in the dust, and over the Girgashites, the proud and the beholder. God hates the pride. God hates pride. These are the battles that they still had to continue to do. God hates pride. In fact, it's an abomination to him. It's the secret thing in me. Lust of the eyes, these three things, the book of John, not the little books at the front, the epistles of John, these three things still remain. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is the hidden thing. It's the hidden thing. You can be pious on the outside, but proud on the inside. You can be religious on the outside, but still proud on the inside. You can pretend that you're walking in the midst of heaven. Hello, Lucifer. But when he saw the look of pride on him, he smote him and cast him to the ground. It was pride that took him out of heaven. Pride. And God hates pride. My Bible says pride comes before what? It doesn't actually say that. It says a haughty spirit comes before a fall. Pride comes before destruction. So before you even get to pride, there's haughtiness about us, thinking that we're right or wanting to prove we're right. That comes before the fall. But if you keep on that path, it will lead you to destruction. Verse 3, for Sihor, which means darkness, which is east of Egypt. The Hebrew word for Egypt is Misraim, which literally means double stress. When a Christian is acting carnal, you'll be around a thing called double stress in your life. Anyone ever been stressed out? That means I know where I've been. Double stress, it's a narrow place, it's blockages, it's a tight spot. Where I've got to remind myself is, where am I standing? Because of things of the Spirit, there's liberty, freedom, and joy, peace, temperance, meekness, self-control. But if I'm suffering all that stuff, where am I standing? Where is my mind at? What am I thinking on? Next, please. If your life is always fighting and fighting and stressed and being stressed, instead of being in the rest, you'll wear out and you'll fade real fast. And that's exactly what happened to Joshua. You will read in the Bible in Joshua that he died at 110. You will never find in the Bible the age of Caleb. It doesn't tell us. All right? Joshua ran with a man called Caleb. He was a man of a different spirit. And I believe we have to be a people of a different spirit. We cannot afford to be a people of the spirit of this world. And you're saying, how can people be a person, be a Christian, but have the spirit of this world? Think of Lot. The acronym of Lot is lots of trouble. Think of Lot. 2 Peter calls him righteous, yet he was carnal. Yet Abraham was righteous and a man full of faith. Both righteous, one carnal, one of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 says, are you not yet still carnal while there's divisions, strife, and envy among you? Are you not yet still carnal? And he was talking to the church. I must not allow this thing get around my spirit to pollute me and pull me back in my thinking of the goodness of God. Because every time I'm whinging and complaining, I'm robbing God. Next one, please. Numbers 14 and 24 says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. What had he done? He had followed him what? To be a man of a different spirit, you've got to follow him what? Fully. You can't follow God half-hearted. If a Christian follows God half-hearted, he's caught between two opinions. A double-minded man, the book of James tells me, is unstable in some of his ways. In all of his ways. It will bring instability to your walk. And not just your walk. It will bring instability to those who are around you. Because one day you're hallelujahing, the next day you're cursing, the next day you're acting like this, instead of stability in one's life. Followed me fully, and I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit. There's a generational blessing if you walk fully with the things of God. Amen. 14, 6 to 8 says, you know the word which the Lord said. You and I have to be students of knowing the word of the Lord. There is many voices in the world that want your attention. In fact, they want your attention so much, they even want your faith. They want you to believe in it before more than God. You've got to know the word of the Lord. You must be a student of the word. You know the word which the Lord said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him. He brought back a word to him, to Moses. As it was in my heart. This word wasn't just in his head, it was in his heart. This word was, we can do it. This word says, we're overcomers. This word said, if God has said it, we can have it. This word says, I want to possess my land. This word saying, give me my mountain. This word says, if God wants me to go in, I'm going to go in. 10 other voices crowded it out. But he never lost the word in his heart. Hear me. No matter what's happening around you, don't allow it to affect the word in your heart. Keep the word strong in your heart. Remind yourself of the goodness of God. And may I say this, please hear me. As these days are approaching, more so should you be in the word of the Lord like never before. locking that word in your heart like never before. So when someone comes along, you have an answer. They don't see this and they don't see that. They just see a man fully convinced. What God has said, he will do. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me and made the heart of the people melt. Notice he said it was the heart of the people, not my heart. They didn't melt his heart. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. So it's about the Lord's word and obedience to that word that makes the most important thing to Caleb. It's about the word and the obedience of the word. Hear me, it's not just being a hearer of the word, you've got to be a what? You've got to be a doer of the word. That caused him to be a man of a different spirit. I'm going to ask the question again. Who wants to be a person of a different spirit? It's going to cost you fully. Fully. Amen? Fully. Next one, please. Caleb had a word of promise. He had a word of faith. He had a word of God's goodness. He never forgot God's goodness at all. It filled his heart and he brought it back, but the other 10 brought back a bad report. Now, if we can be really honest, anyone ever brought back a bad report? My conversation is not like the rest. That's what he actually said. My conversation is not going to be like the rest. I refuse to join my conversation with those who are negative and negative against God. I refuse to allow my conversation to be part of that. If someone's pulling down God and saying, oh, where's God? I don't know if God this. You don't be part of that. You just tell them about the goodness of the Lord. You tell them about the promises of God. I wholly followed the Lord, believing that what he had said, I can see what he says before I put my foot in it. Have you got enough vision to see what God has spoken to you, to possess what God's spoken to you? Is there enough clarity and vision to say, you know what? I've got a bunch of grapes, but I'm not happy with a bunch. God wants me to give me the vineyard. Can you see the vineyard? All can you see is the giants in the land. What's clouding my vision? What's filling my heart? What's coming out of my mouth? What am I speaking? What am I declaring? What is sapping my strength? Because usually it starts with your heart, which your mouth reflects. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will only speak what is evident in the heart. It's the mirror of the heart. If you want to know someone's issues, all you have to do is not talk to them, listen to them. If I want to walk in strength, a rejuvenated spirit, I need to fill my mouth with his words and his goodness. If I want a rejuvenated spirit, if I do not want that negativity to attach itself to me, I've got to shake it off and have the mind of Christ. Next one, please. Isaiah 40, 28 and 31. It says this, have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. What does he do? Do you believe that? He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Now, he's saying the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young man shall utterly fall. But those who what? Those who what? Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like the? And they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That word wait literally means to entwine oneself. To entwine oneself. You entwine yourself in the things of God. And there's a transfer from your weakness to his strength. And when you're boasting on him, when you're entwining yourself with him, there is a transfer of the goodness of God. There's a transfer of the things of God. And all of a sudden, you come out of that and you're empowered, you're invigorated, you're rejuvenated in your spirit and in your soul. And you can take on anything. But most of us, like the rest of us, hate waiting. We hate waiting. You say to the kids, put that down for a minute. And they're counting the seconds. But you've got to find your secret place. You've got to find your secret place. You got to wait on Him. You got to entwine yourself in His goodness. You got to speak it out. You got to remind yourself of the goodness of your God. You got to remind yourself of the promises of your God. You got to start speaking out till your mouth starts developing faith in your heart, because faith comes by. Hallelujah. They shall renew their strength. Psalm 103 and 5 says this: who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Just like the eagles. We need to talk about the eagle for a minute. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. He will renew your strength, and you shall man up with the wings of an eagle. When an eagle rejuvenates itself, and how an eagle rejuvenates itself, it loses its old feathers and gets new ones. Sometimes the eagle has to pull them out. A lot of times it will have to rest on the rock and allow the sun to cleanse it. Sometimes it will have to fly to a height, especially when it's lost vision because of the mite. It will have to go to a height. They've been recorded sometimes at 25,000 feet. And what they do, they will soar till they get to that height where the mite can no longer breathe and it falls from its eye. And if you want fresh vision, you better get higher. And then what happens, especially the bald eagle, it's not bald, it's just white. But the renewing of the feathers starts at the head. If you want rejuvenation, you better start at the head. It's all about the head. And it then will flow down to the body. And then you can deal with the things in the body. But it will have to start in your head. Amen? It will have to start by reading the word to renew my mind. It will start with how I confess things. It will start me not speaking negative, biting my tongue. When your tongue wants to say something, it shouldn't. Refraining your mouth. Teaching it who's boss. Amen. Renewing the heart through the washing of the water of the Word of God, allowing Him to circumcise and break up the fallow ground of my heart. I either want fully of Him, or I will never be rejuvenated the way He wants me to be rejuvenated. Who wants to be rejuvenated? Who wants to go higher? Who wants to have fresh vision? Those things, those mites, they suck life. They suck blood. They suck life out of you. And sometimes the only way, and it's no use running to people for it. You've got to get into a higher level of the kingdom of God. You've got to soar higher than what you are. That's why God is continuously asking us to come up here. Are you with me? Both mention eagles. Youth is renewed. Mandate to attain to a higher place. Who wants their youth renewed? Who wants their vigor, their vitality, their first love restored and reinvigorated, rejuvenated in the things of God? Hallelujah. An eagle rejuvenates itself. I've done that. Next one, please. God never said to Caleb what he had said to Joshua. He never said to Caleb once, "You're old. You're looking a bit old there, Caleb." Never had to say it to him. He says, "My strength has never left me. He says, I am strong as I was when I was 40. All he asked of Joshua was this: give me my mountain. I want the promise of God. I want the promise of God. I want what you've said to me. Give me my mountain." See, a man of a different spirit doesn't look at the problem. He never mentioned the giants. He never mentioned what he had to overcome. He said, "Just give me the word that I can get up there." And what God's declared, it is mine. He had to face the giants up there. Notice he didn't want the lowlands. Uh-huh. If you want the more of God, you've got to go to a higher place. Amen. Just as my strength was then, so is my strength for war, both going out and coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke to me in that day, 40 years ago. 40 years ago, he kept his heart ignited with passion and purpose in the things of God by refusing to speak as they spoke, by refusing to allow their words permeate his heart. Hallelujah. Next one, please. He was a man of the word. He never forgot his benefits, his goodness, and his word. He was a man of faith. He wouldn't let anything or anyone fill his heart with hopelessness or despair. He kept his heart full of his word. He had learned earlier to wait on him. He was a man of perseverance. He didn't allow his wilderness, his disappointment to rob him what God had said. Anyone ever been through a wilderness and sometimes you get so despondent, you say, what's going on? What's it all about? Spinning your wheels and going nowhere. He was a man of obedience. Give me what you have said. He was a man who knew how to bless. He gave his daughters a portion. He was a man who wanted to inhabit the higher place. He was not content with the lowlands of life. He never thought in terms of comfort while the rest were in fear. He focused on what God had promised. And that's where God wants his people to be. Focus on what I have said, not what other people are saying. Focus on the benefits of your God. Amen. Focus on the benefits of your God. Next one. That's the last one. His cry to Joshua was, give me my mountain. A man of a different spirit. A man who acted upon God's word. A man who had faith and action. My question this morning is, what's coming out of my heart? What's coming out of my mouth? Have I found the place to wait upon the Lord? To exchange my weakness for his strength? Be like David. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. If you want rejuvenation this morning, I can't make that happen for you. But I can pray with you that you would find your waiting place, that you would get before him and bring exchange, that you would challenge your own heart so your mouth doesn't speak those things it shouldn't. It's amazing. There's only two people that know your heart. You and him. Challenge your own heart. Say, God, I want the more. God, I want a man up with the wings of the eagle. Lord, help me to rejuvenate my head, that it will flow down to my body, that it would infect my wife, that it would infect my children and my children's children. That's what he's talking about. Change me. Change me. Change this. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. I got that song this morning in my prayer time. Renew in me a passion for you. Do you know he can? Do you know he desires to? Do you know that's why he tells us how good he is toward us? So we can connect to the goodness and the blessedness of God. Renew in me a passion for you. Breathe on the coals of my heart. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. I want to challenge you. How's your prayer life? Have you found your waiting place? It's absolutely ridiculous for us as Christians to think we can carry the weights of this world when Jesus came to take them weights away. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And yet so often we get so deceived, we carry these heavy weights that we were never intended to be able to carry. Restore my first love. Cause my youth to return. That first place. Restore my first love. Hallelujah. Give me strength and vigor for the things of your spirit. Strength and vigor. Hallelujah. If that's you this morning, you just say, Lord, here I am, change me. You just raise your hands before the Lord and receive this morning. I really believe he wants to pour in. I really believe he wants to change the picture on your mind. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. We come before you as children of God. Father, we ask you, change me. Change me. Change my mind. Forgive me if the words I've spoken that are contrary to your spirit. Forgive me. Lord, let my mind be transformed by the renewing and the empowering and the washing of your word. Give me a hunger for your word and your truth. And let me walk, Father, as you design me to walk, a man of the Spirit, a woman of the Spirit. That which is on the head will then flow down to the body. Touch my family. Touch my children. Touch my grandchildren. Lord, I prophesy of my great-grandchildren. Touch them. That they would be followers of you all the days of their life. Yet for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. So this morning, Father, we dedicate ourselves afresh. And we say, have your way in me. Have your way through me. That you might receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And I thank you today is a new day. And your mercies on you every morning. And I want to shout out, I'll bless you, Father. I love on you. And I give you my all. I come fully toward you. Forgive me of holding back any portion of my life. Help me to place it on the altar. In Jesus' name. And if that's you this morning, you tell him amen. Hallelujah. Can we just give him a clap offering this morning? Ah, you're a good God. You're a good God. You're a wonderful God. You're a wonderful Father. Hallelujah. Don't forget, next month we will be doing our fasting and prayer. If your name is not on the list, please get on the list so we can come together as a body of believers. I'm either going to make a Monday night or a Thursday night, a prayer night. I haven't decided which one. Once a week during the month of February to come and pray as we fast and pray. Amen. I'll let you know that one next week. But please put your name down. Because what happens is where there's unity, it commands the blessing. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, a good week, successful week. In Jesus' name, amen.